Timothy chapter number 1, 2 Timothy in chapter number 1. And church family, you're welcome to listen in. I'm going to preach to these two young men, and they certainly need it. But I encourage you to join us as I give a charge to these dear young men. 2 Timothy in chapter number 1. You may follow along as I read. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned, the sincere, the genuine, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Timothy had a goodly heritage. It was a multi-generational faith. Third chapter of 2 Timothy, please. Paul writes, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, but continue. Brother Matt, my message to you tonight, to continue. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is doctrine for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Gentlemen, we believe in the respect. We believe that all scripture, We believe all of the very words in our Bible have the holy men of old as they spake under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, given by inspiration of God, and that they're profitable for doctrine, sound Bible teaching, wrong, and then correction, and that's in righteousness. That's how to keep it right. We believe this Bible is the divinely inspired and preserved, used to fulfill the call of God upon your life. I draw your attention to the 14th verse where Paul writes to Timothy, But continue thou in the things which thou hast. It seems that many people in this generation have this thought in mind that I've got to find out what I believe. May I say, dear friend, and the Bible says continue. Timothy had, as you have had, young men. Chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul references grandmother and then in his mother. This is multi-generational. And Paul, you've been brought upright. You were bounced on your head a couple of times, but otherwise you were brought upright. Believing parents and grandparents. Godly grandmother. And Paul's admonition is continue. I'll taught you. And may I say, dear church family, we're so blessed to have godly heritage in our nation. And we as a nation and we as individuals continue. You children that are here tonight, that God gave you a godly mama and gave you a godly grandma, continue. Paul's admonition is continue. Now you can't continue something unless you're already doing it. Right? You can't continue something unless you're already doing it. Now you young men grew up in Christian homes. You grew up in fundamental churches. You went to a good... And I say to the two of you, and I say to all of us here, may I especially to the young people, don't tithe the first 18 years of your life and then walk away from it when you turn 18. Don't come to Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, then walk away from it when you get old enough to figure that you're smarter than mom and dad and pretty much everybody else. What a privilege it is come from a godly heritage and a goodly heritage. The psalmist mentioned it. What a privilege it is. Hey, don't squander and decide somewhere down the road that we don't need to be confrontational soul winners, and people don't do that anymore, and that doesn't work anymore. We don't win souls because it works. We win souls because of Proverbs 11:30. And we don't do it because it builds churches. We don't even do it to keep folks out of hell. We do it because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. If soul winning didn't put people in the pews of a church, we'd still do it, because if we love Jesus, we keep. Both of you have done bus work. Got saved on a bus. I like that story. You volunteered. You stuffed envelopes. You've cleaned. You've worked vacation Bible school. I remember my nephew Matt when he was young, 2 years old. And I remember if Dad was pastoring, where's church up there, where's Valley? Is this your Bible? Oh, I better not. I'll be careful with it. He put his Bible down on the front pew after church is over. And he's 2 years old, could barely, he's still talking garbled. And he's up there and he lays his Bible on the pew and he opened it up and he flip a few pages. He was. Hey, thank God for a goodly heritage. Amen. The admonition. But look again at the verse, if you would, please. Paul says, "Hast been assured of." Paul recognized that this young man with his goodly heritage had some seasons, maybe more than one season in his life, where he wrestled with in his own mind, in his own heart, the things he'd grown up with. Sunday school teachers taught him that he sung about in the church choirs and in the little children's choirs. And there came a time, you see, these are things, Timothy, that you've learned and you've been assured of. Assurance that mama was right and grandma was right and cops and grandparents, and the faith of this fundamental Christianity, would you be still believe the Bible is the foundation of our faith, not some other book, not some catechism, and this book right here is the foundation of our faith. Now if you get to that book, amen. This book right here will do one of two things for you. Assurance comes to this book. I love this story. My pastor, Brother Hiles, God said, surrendered his to the call of ministry and went to prepare institution. And by the way, Southern Baptist says, the Southern Baptists back then were more independent than the independents are now. And he got under a teacher and it rattled him. He made up his mind that he was going to read through the Bible on his knees. Question marks are being put in his mind. Things his pastors never said. Things his mama, his bed, began to read his Bible. Day after day, he'd get on his reading. Through that school year, he read all the way through the Bible. In the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, he jumped up in his dorm room and he said, "Mama, it's for you, young man. Mama's still right. Amen. And your daddy's still right. And the Bible is still right." And you and I are going to waver. That's life. When those things came, the faith of your father, and you become assured of the things that you have learned, that what he'd been taught was right, he was currently believing and practicing. But notice one other thing. He says in this verse, continue of. Notice this. Knowing of whom. In other words, on the testimony of those who have taught you. Christianity does not, years ago, churches that once believed and preached like, you can't recognize it. Look at the testimony of those who taught you, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, on the testimony of the attachment to people that we love is strong. Sometimes when I'm witness to somebody who grew up in a false religion, it's hard for them to receive Christ by faith, because if they receive Christ by faith as the only hope for heaven, then it implicates all the folks in their family, maybe grandma or whoever else, that has already died without faith in Christ. They're not in, and that's hard to overcome. Perhaps folks even closer. And some of them will not continue.
Think about the testimony of those who taught you. Verse 16, Paul said, "Wherefore I beseech you, I beg you, be ye followers of me." 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of me." Oh, I know in this modern day, he's just trying to get a crowd. He's just trying to get people to follow him. What are you going to say about the Apostle Paul? I want to influence you. I'm taking you the right direction. Follow me. Amen. The world is not ashamed to say, "Follow me." The world is not ashamed to push their agenda. In Philippians 4:9, he said, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." Who taught you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Don't forget your parents. Don't forget your Sunday school teachers. Don't forget your pastors. Don't forget those who invested in your life. Trust those who have finished well. Paul would write, "I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith." Daniel, your grandfather is not done with his race. But it sure looks like he's going. And Matthew, your grandfather, thank the Lord, is not done with his retirement. But from where I'm standing, it sure looks like he's going to finish well. Trust those who have finished well. Trust those who gave their life. The martyrs of Hebrews chapter 11. Of whom the world is not worthy. Nobody dies for a lie. Nobody dies for something they don't truly believe in. The apostles who went to the death. Those who questioned, "Can I be on the right side? Can I be on the left side?" And it said to them, he said, "I don't know if you can drink the cup that I'm going to drink." "Oh, we can drink it." He's talking about the cup of suffering. Jesus said, "Ye shall indeed drink the cup that I drink of. And with the baptism that I am baptized with, all ye shall be baptized." He's talking about the cup and the baptism of suffering. Those apostles indeed drank that cup. They were baptized into persecution. James was beheaded by his captor, by Agrippa the First, and beheaded with a halberd. James the Less, the half-brother of Jesus, James and pastor of the church in Jerusalem, was thrown from a tower and his head smashed with a fuller's club. Matthias, who replaced Judas, was stoned and then beheaded. Andrew, the brother of Peter, died on an X-shaped cross. Mark went to Alexandria and, preaching against the ceremony to the idol Serapis, was dragged to death through the streets. Paul, the apostle, out of due time, was beheaded by Nero. Jude went to Edessa in AD 72 and was crucified. And Peter, crucified upside down by Emperor Nero. Bartholomew, who translated the Gospel of Matthew, went to India and was beaten and then crucified. Thomas went to Kamina, India, was tortured and speared, put in an oven. Dr. Luke hung from an olive tree in Greece, free of whom the world was not worthy. I'm saying there's plenty of folks who've gone before and they finished well. They finished well. And Paul's admonition is, finish well, finish well, finish well. Hey, listen, if you're not sure who to follow, if you have voices, if you have contemporary voices, Brother Daniel, if you have, Brother Matthew, contemporary voices, and some are saying something a little different, and somebody's saying a little different, and they're getting a little, maybe different things about the Bible, maybe a little different things about Christian living, maybe a little different things about ministry, maybe a little different things about personal soul winning. I tell you what you just do. Just go pick up the books of the men that are already in heaven and read the story and follow the patterns and the Harry Ironsides and the Bob Jones Seniors and the John Rices and the Harold Sightlers and the Billy Goforths and the William Booths and the William Careys and the J. Wilbur Chapmans and the Curtis Hudsons and the Jack Howes and the R.G. Lees and the D. L. Moody. I'm talking about the ones who finished well. Make a pattern out of those who finished well. Trust those who are faithfully following Christ today. Every year it happens now in our ministry. Some young adult. There's one this morning. I caught their eye and shared a smile with them. Just now back in church. this big in our children's department, this big in our youth department out in the world. And I look over and I smile, kind of a sheepish smile. And my heart wants to burst with joy. And they'll say something like this. Brother Hamilton's still the youth pastor. That old man's still the youth pastor. So-and-so's still singing in the choir? Yeah. Trust those who are faithfully following Christ. Let me tell you something. I know there's some folks who changed their philosophy of life and ministry. I know there's some folks who don't believe in the preservation of scriptures anymore. I know there's some folks who don't see anything wrong with trying to marry the world's music with some gospel lyrics. But I, listen to me. I refuse to let a few hypocrites steal my joy, make me cynical, make sewer of poison of bitter, backslidden gossips who grew up in good old-fashioned fundamental church and blame the youth department, blame the camps and everything else, and the internet's covered up with them. Let me tell you something. I refuse to buy into that garbage, that poison stream. I am going to look to those who finished well and Jesus Christ. I challenge you with me to trust those who've taught you what is right. Every generation must serve. And you believe it because you've heard it preached and taught. And Matthew Bushy, you need to become an expert on the doctrine of salvation. So nobody can shake you on that foundational truth. Your whole life and ministry will be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You keep it biblical. You keep it aggressive. You know how many people tried to dismerge old-fashioned confrontational, go out in highways and hedges and bring them in that my house may be filled. You know how many, matter how many people belittle it, no matter how many people ask the questions and try to discourage it, you just keep your gospel of Jesus Christ and you give it faithfully. And if you're like Moses for 120 years and nobody responds, you've given it faithfully. And if God happens to fill up a church full of people for you, thank God. But don't you change the plan of salvation to try to fix some backslidden folks and make some folks have to jump through hoops to get saved. You keep it solid. You keep it your whole life long. Every generation must learn these truths for yourself. Study them out, fellas. And those scriptural principles that were the foundation of your parents and grandparents, your leaders' faith. A principle is something you learn from the Word of God that reveals God's will. A firmly held belief based on scriptural principles. But don't make it applicable. Make it practical. You read your Bible and find some biblical principles. And then get your seated conviction about those biblical principles. But you make sure you go the next step of living in your life to help you keep your convictions. A standard is a rule that I impose upon myself. Have convictions, you have no grounds for standards. By the way, that's why a lot of people get in your Bible. Well, I don't know why y'all do that. Okay, I know why we do it. And if you get a conviction, then you understand the practical part of building a standard in your life to help you keep your conviction. Amen? I'm convinced that falling off a cliff 200 feet in the air and falling on my head is going to hurt. I'm going to put me a guardrail on the edge of the fence. Amen? We're so upside down and backwards against it, about this thing. And then you lay out some practical standards in your life that will help you keep your convictions. Study out the issues and determine what's biblical. You do this from a standpoint of knowledge, not from a principles. They don't change. They're the same. Convictions only when you yourself get in that book and see that it's true. And say, yes, I believe this in the Word of God. That standard is something, not that your dad's wife's clean and serving God faithfully. Same for you. If men are wise, you'll realize that you need some standards in you down carefully. Standards. You're just wise. You're wise. Who kept their standards for a lifetime. Trust those.
Look at our text again. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Verse 14. Continue. And do so on the testimony of those who've taught you. Trust those who finished well. Trust those who are faithfully following Christ. Trust those who have taught you what is right. Trust those whom God has put in your... And I'll finish. Paul said this, be followers of me, even, here's the key word, as. When those who once taught you to follow Christ stop following Christ, you keep following Christ. When those who once faithfully followed Christ, those who once opened God's word to you, if at any time they, God for their influence in my life, two of those men are in heaven, the other one sits right over here. In times, fellas, wives sat and wept because somebody who once led me left the path. I remember sitting, we were living over here, sitting on the end of the couch together. I want God to use us all that He can. I'd like to see Him build a work for His glory, but I don't want to build anything at the expense of my family and my marriage. I'd rather flip burgers 40 hours a week and preach on the weekend. Quote, successful ministry at the expense of my home. But the fact of the matter is, some won't. But I submit to you, young man, that our allegiance is to the Lord. I'm the first one up in our house. Most of the time. Sometime I'll go and I'll stand at the window and say, reporting for duty, great privilege, brethren. I don't know why God chose us. We don't deserve it. It's a wonderful life. A wonderful life. I pinch myself every day. God knows me. He knows how unworthy I am. I'm so happy He called me. I want to finish well. I want to continue. My charge to you, continue. Let's bow our heads, Father.